Well, good morning, everybody. I sure enjoyed, I always love it listening to Pastor Ken. He makes me cry. He makes me laugh. He gets me mad. He's a true friend. I really love Pastor Ken. He's my brother. I'm glad that God sent him here. And that the hairy boy that came, thank you for sending that hairy boy. He's been a good son, spiritual son to me. We get to borrow your son, and you raised a really great boy. Appreciate him, become a great dad, wonderful example around this church, around this city, around Canada, and so affecting many, many people. I want you to turn in your Bibles. I want to talk to you about eight important things about dad. What he brings to the home. Eight important principles of a dad. Go to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6 and Proverbs 22. And I want to share some very important principles just to give to you to be reminded that nothing really, I don't want to teach a really heavy message. If it gets heavy, just begin to praise God. But this is a very important day, Father's Day. Sometimes we don't put Father's Day as important as Mother's Day. And sometimes that is the attitude, but dads are very, very important. So moms, you take a back seat this morning. Dads, you be elevated just a little bit, not too much. How many dads we got in the house? Let me just see your hand. How many dads we got in the house? Everybody here? It's a dad. Thank you so much for attending this morning. Eight important facts and principles about being a dad and about training children and being a husband. These are all important. So this month and maybe the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about the home. We're going to talk about relationship. We're going to talk about just what it's like to be in a home that is filled with love and devotion to one another. The NLT says, Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord because you belong to the Lord. For this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and your mother. For this is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and your mother, things will go well for you. You will have a long life on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Ephesians 6:1-4, New Living says, now Proverbs 22, verse 6, King James Version says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. The Bible says children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from Him. Proverbs, or at least Psalm 127, verse 3 says that children are a gift. Well, if children are a gift, then fathers are gifts as well. Because you were all a child one time. And we just get to be older gifts. Sometimes you have gifts in your home, and sometimes you forget about the oldest gift. Because there's a new gift in town. And as the Bible says, the children are a gift from the Lord, but they don't always feel that way. Children don't always feel like a gift. But that's what God says, that they are a gift from the Lord. And sometimes because the way they act, they don't feel like, sometimes they feel like more like a punishment than a gift. How many of you can relate to that? Yeah? If you're honest, you can say, yeah, you know what? My child sure don't feel like a gift right now. And they're really teaching me something. You can learn a lot from your children about who you are, what kind of person you really are, right? So we learn from them. I just want to take this few minutes to speak on the importance of being a dad and training your children. Just having children and producing children is not, is quite a lot different than raising your child up. Anybody can just have sex with somebody else, procreate, and just have children, and have children everywhere. But it's another thing to be a dad. It takes knowledge to be a dad. And a lot of us have learned that. We decided that we're going to be good dads. So if you have a dad that wasn't as good as you thought they should be, maybe you need to learn how to be a good dad. Be the kind of dad that you don't want to raise your children, you know, under a negative situation. So think about that for a moment. You know what? As Pastor Ken described to us, his dad never had a dad, you know, being raised up. And so people get short on learning how to be a dad. You need more than just, you know, being a part of somebody. You need that person there with you. I don't know whether you guys think this is important or not, but this is very important. Because our society is short of having good fathers. And we need fathers who would just stand up to their wives and raise up. It's going to be revolt this morning. No, you know, we need dads who can just stand for what is right. You know, there are various stages of a child's development. They grow from young children to adulthood. It's important that we as dads understand our children in the different phases that our child goes through and what they go through emotionally, physically. And sometimes, you know, we don't understand that. And I know that my role as a dad has significantly changed now for my own girls, my son. I don't have the same, relationship I had with them. And as you grow older, your voice becomes a little bit different to them. They change. And so we have to change. We don't treat our children the same. They need to learn how to operate as adults, find their own way in life. And sometimes we have to come by and help them a lot because they need help. I know my grandmother helped my dad a lot. When he's older, needed to be. My grandmother talked to my dad. My dad was very much involved in my life in so many ways that I never really thought about it. Even with my wife, when I brought my wife home, my dad told me, "This is your wife. This is the one you should marry." And all before that, he told me that whenever I had someone, he said, "That's not the one." And he would tell the girl, "You better go home. I don't want to see you here anymore." I said, "Dad, you can't say that." He said, "Well, this is my home." So my dad was very much involved in my life. He gave approval of different things. And although he was not a farmer. And he didn't have a John Deere. But he did have many deer in his life. And my dad never went to sea and caught fish that way. But he did have a net, and he got fish. My dad was a traditional man, and he earned his living by trapping and hunting. And so somehow in my life, I felt a little bit embarrassed of my dad because he didn't have the kind of jobs other people had. So I grew up with a little bit of a attitude about my dad. And I realized today my dad was a whole lot different. So he was a traditional man, my father. And he worked all his life in the bush. So my dad was a bushman. And I got to appreciate my dad many years later. And he became addicted to drink. And he became a different man. And by the time I was a certain age, we drank together, even sometime. Not always, sometime. But there was lots of good memories with my father. I remember so many good things like fishing and hunting with him. We go hunting together, and those were nice times to go with my father. And one of the endearing things about my father, he used to sing me songs. And he'd tell me how sweet I was. And even as a very old, in my older age, he would brag about me. He would tell people how wonderful of a son I was. My mom never got to see me becoming such a fantastic man. She knew me as a son who was a wayward young man. But my dad, he disciplined us physically. And that was part of what we accepted. That was the way it was. We accepted our discipline from our fathers. And we said, when dad comes home, you know the story about going to get your willow? Go out there, pick your willow. And then you pull the willow and until it becomes a whip. You pull every arm off the willow, and then you get the whipping. So training your child is important. You have to understand the various stages. And, of course, we as dads have stages. I'm getting into my other age. I just got a message from my son. He says, Happy Father's Day from Sammy. I have a little Sammy. I'm so proud of little Sammy, little boy that my son has. He's a beautiful little man, and I enjoy him so much. Anyway, so I thought about a couple of things I wrote down here that, as a dad, I was raised by a father, and I learned some things from my dad. And I also think of, this is Father's Day, so I'm a dad too. And I have to understand what my role is as a dad. And so I think about, as a dad, scripturally speaking, that I'm the leader in my house. I give leadership in my home. I get to determine what kind of atmosphere my home is going to be like my wife. We make sure how our house should be like. And so God has given us that responsibility to be the head of the home. I did a wedding yesterday. I had the honor to do a wedding, a wonderful, beautiful wedding. A young girl that came to our church a number of years ago, she walked into the church, and the power of God touched this young lady's life. And she came to the front. She said, I don't know what overtook me, but God did something in my life. I wasn't thinking about coming to the front. I just had an overwhelming sense of spirituality to come forward, and I got born again. And she said, after that, I was so hungry for the Bible. I read my Bible day and night. I just got so hungry. And so I had an opportunity to be this young girl's mentor for a number of years. And I interviewed her at one of our television programs years ago, maybe 6 years ago or so, 5 years ago. And so I was able to do the wedding, the process of wedding. So we talked about the important things that a home needs. And so we had the honor to do that yesterday. It was a wonderful, time. And so I think about all the special times I've had with some of you that I've able to unite together in marriage, like Nathan and Kelly, and different ones that we've done here in this church. And I get to see these children grow up in church. And I would never have thought I would ever think about that, I'm this old now that I see... the young ladies, they have children and see them get married and have their own children. So having children, having a great family, being a great dad is no accident. What I mean by that is that to be a good dad, you have to want to be a good dad. You have to want to learn to be a good dad. There's an art to becoming a good father. And there's also being a good, understanding that. So guiding our children. So I thought about one of the things that the character that I've learned and what I've learned of being a dad is being the leader in my home. And being a provider. Always making sure that provisions are made. No matter what it is, if it could be financial or material provision or providing the love and care and nurture that our children need. Providing those spiritual aspects Sometimes men forget about that aspect of being the provider in that way. Also being the protector, protecting our home, protecting what we have, and protecting the kind of relationship. Like somebody said, one of the greatest things you can do for your children is to love your wife. Amen. It's how you treat your wife. And there's some country songs like that, I believe. Or, you know, I can't recall, but I don't listen to country music all that much. I should sometime because it can make you cry. Maybe I'll call Sterling over my house today. He can sing me a couple of songs. He has a few good songs, CCR songs. So you get to be a protector. You also become a teacher. A teacher. Somebody who can mentor the child. A role model. Your children will take into consideration what God is by looking at you as a dad. What you teach them. So those are things that I understand. Like I'm a dad to my own children. I had my own father consider what I learned from my father. And also that I had the privilege of becoming a spiritual dad to a lot of young ladies that didn't have a father that come here. I've had the privilege of being a mentor to other children whose dads are passed away. And it's been a, you know, it's a very privileged thing to be a mentor to children, to other people's kids. And I take that very, very importantly. So as you saw in the scripture, in Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up a child. Everybody say, train.
Train.
Well, that word train means to develop or form from habits. To develop or form from habits through their thoughts or behaviors. So we develop and train our children by forming in them habits and their thinking. And what they do, you train them by following. You know, in our tradition as First Nations people, we have this tradition that we learn through observation. That's one of the greatest things that we do. Because I remember Ed and I, we'd go and visit Grandpa. Because we just lived across the street, and I could throw a stone to Ed's house, and I did a few times. And so we would visit our grandpa, and our grandpa was very, very soft man. Like my dad was the same way, very soft. And he'd make canoes, birch bark canoes. He'd do it for a living. It wasn't a hobby. He sold these things, so that's what he did. So we learn about these things, you know, how he treated grandma and so forth. And how they live. You do this by spending time with your children. So I always thought about how do I spend time with my children. I know I'm going to have them for a short time. So what should I do? What's significant? I'm going to build memories with my girls. And I want to develop the kind of husband they need. I always thought about what kind of a man I should be with these girls. So that they, when they look for a husband, they'll find me. So today my girl said, Dad, we can't find a husband like you. Is that why you're making all these mistakes? So, you know, so they see in us. So men, dads, we have to build strong families. We have to build, when we build strong nations, the Bible says, the homes are strong in a community, our communities will be stronger. Our churches will be stronger. Our cities, our nation will be stronger with that in mind. So we have work to do. And here's something I understood. And I was talking to somebody here that in the First Nations community, anyway, I'm talking here culturally because sometimes, you know, we have different cultures. It's the farm is a kind of a culture and the fishing industry and so forth. You know, some people and growing up in northern, the bush is a cultural way of lifestyle. And so for the First Nations people, we have a challenge, and so we have between the ages. I believe there's statistics. I've been reading this that in the First Nations community, it's the fastest growing population in Canada. Between the ages of 14 and 24, there's more children being born in that age than any other nation in Canada. And so also we've had great difficulty within the First Nation structure, and there's many reasons for that, but we need to take responsibility. For you, some of you that are watching maybe on First Nations community this morning, we have a job to do to raise children that are godly children, that are spiritual children, that look at our Creator and believe that we can make a difference in this world. So, first of all, the first response we have being a dad is, number one, we have to take very serious care in being a responsible person. If you're a father, the first thing you need to do, the Bible says train up a child, so we have to take that seriously. For the first point, take full responsibility of the serious nature of being a dad. So if you're a father, you have to be able to do that. When we sat down with our children, my wife and I, you know, we carefully planned a lot of things. Like, they don't always work out, but we plan. We will never go back and say, we didn't try that, we didn't do it. We did a lot of planning. And so I believe that this scripture, even if your child goes, they'll always come back to what they know. So they could leave your home for a while and try whatever they want. But if you raise the child up from the home and your house, like, we can't expect the children's ministry to train our children. That's just a subsidy. The real training is in the house. So we can't just say, send them our kids to Christian school and expect them to do what you're supposed to be doing, right? Like, we can't say, well, you train them. So we train our children. Our lives, what we do, is the biggest example in training our children. So we take full responsibility of our children, of being a dad. So in Genesis 18 and 19, it says in there that God was talking here. What God said about Abraham, our forefather, our spiritual dad, he says, for I know him, this is Genesis 18, 19, for I know him, he will command his children and his household after him. They will keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment that the Lord, of the Lord, you know. So we see that over here that God says this man here is going to command his children to be following God. And we have to have that standard in our home. This is what we have as a standard. So raising up a child is not a quick thing. It's a full-time duty, a responsibility to teach our children diligently. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 6:7, here's the full-time responsibility of raising up a child daily. It says in here, Deuteronomy 6:7, King James says, thou shalt teach them, that is the word of God or about God, diligently unto your children, and you shall talk of them, that's the scriptures, when you sit down in your house, and when you walk by the way, or when you're walking with them, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. That this is a full-time job of training our child as dads. And so some of us, because I wasn't raised that way, I didn't have that. I didn't pray with my dad. I never one time prayed with my dad, ever. Not one time. We had different, of course, our dads had a different framework than we have, so we can't compare our dads with ourselves with our dads. Because we have a different opportunity than our dads had today. There's more information, there's different things available for our dads today than ever before. When I look at my dad, I can't compare what I have as a dad today than what my dad had, because it was totally different. So I can't look down on my dad. He operated on what he knew. And that's why sometimes I appreciate my upbringing and the church I was raised in. I don't slander it. I don't come against it. I appreciate what I learned, and I move on. It doesn't help criticizing. Like, when I talk about the difficulty in my home and with my father, my parents, I'm not criticizing them. I'm telling you what it's like. I'm not coming to you in a wrong spirit. I'm just telling you what it's been like in my house and what my life was like before. So I want you to understand that. So if I ever talk in a manner that might seem disrespectful to you, the intention. That's not the intention. But I just want to let you know that it was, that's what it was like. So let me just, I'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. But I want to tell you a story of a father who had five kids. Anybody with five children in here? Anybody with five children? Here, here, here. What else? Pastor Ken is short of that. But you have four. Almost made it. We had one family that was racing with you. They had more, I think. So, we were encouraging you guys, though, too. So, here's a story about a father of five children who came home with a toy. Pastor Ken, do you ever come home with a toy? So he summoned his children and asked which of them should be, given that present, that toy. He said, "Who is the most obedient one here? Who never talks back to mommy? Who does everything that mommy says to do?" That's what the dad said to the five children. A few seconds went by of silence. Then all the children said, in one accord, he said, "Daddy, you play with the toy." You know, you can tell what the kids learn in that house. You know, so does that happen in your house, Pastor Ken? Here's another story about an effective father. Gordon Donnelly writes this. It is said that Boswell, a famous biographer of Samuel Johnson, that he often referred to a special day in his childhood when his father took him fishing. How many of you had a fishing expedition with your father? Some, a lot of you have. The day was fixed in his mind, and he often reflected upon the many things his father had taught him in the course of their fishing experience together. After heard of their particular excursion so often, it occurred to someone that much later to check the journal of Boswell's father kept and determine what had he said about that date and about the fishing trip from a parental perspective. Turning to that date, the reader found only one sentence entered. "Gone fishing today with my son. A day wasted." It's supposed to be funny, but good. Here's another one I want to share to you. Children begged for a hamster. Anybody, you have kids who beg, "Give me a dog, give me a dog." And you become the one that takes care of the dog. It happened in my house with the dog. Copper became my dog. And the feeding and the cleaning. And I come home one day, I mean, he crapped everywhere. I changed my mind that day. He was no longer a Holy Ghost dog. He was sent from somewhere else. And I bragged about him. That dog is born again. He's spirit filled. He barks in tongues. And we had cats. We had cats too. Cats, you know. And I was the one that took care of the cats. So here's a story about children with a hamster. These children begged for a hamster after the usual fervent vows that they alone could care for it. They got one. They named it Danny. 2 months later, the mom found herself responsible for cleaning and feeding the little creature. She located a prospective new home for it. The children took the news of Danny's imminent departure quite well. Though one of them remarked, "He has been around here a long time. We'll miss him." "Yes," the mom replied, "but he's too much work for one person. And since I'm the only one person, I say he goes." Another child offered, "Well, maybe if we wouldn't feed him so much, and it wouldn't be so messy if we'd keep him." The mom was firm. "It's time to take Danny to his new home," she insisted. "Go and get his cage." With one voice and tearful outrage, the children shouted, "Danny, I thought you said Daddy." So as you can see, sometimes there's misunderstandings in the home about Daddy. Here's a man talking here. At the first church that I pastored, I had a job. I'm mixing feed to supplement my income. That sounds like Pastor Ken with his truck driving, bus driving, and cleaning and all that kind of job. Supplementing his job and Pastor Steve. For periods of about 2 weeks, each day I came home from work. My two boys, age 2 and 3, would look at me, smile, and would say, "Boy, Dad, you sure are dusty." I would reply, "Yes, I'm dusty." Then I would get all cleaned up. I didn't think too much of it until I was washing my car and saw my oldest son doing something very strange. He was picking up gravel and stones that were in our driveway, rubbing them onto his pants. I asked him, "What are you doing?" He replied, I want to be like you, like a dusty daddy like you." Then I realized if a child would look up to his father being dusty, I want them to be like me. You know, we think about things. Our child picks up on things. They look at us. Some of us remember our fathers. We would do the same thing. We want to be like Dad. And this is... he said, "I realized if a child would look up to his father for being dusty, I want to copy his father. A child could look up to his father and follow him for anything." So what are you passing on to your son today? I cannot think of any need in a childhood as strong as the need for a father's protection, says Sigmund Freud. One morning, a father didn't get up to go to work. He went to the hospital and died the next day. I hadn't thought about that much about him before. He was just someone who left and came home and seemed glad to see everyone at night. He opened up the jar of pickles when no one else could do it. He was the only one in the house who wasn't afraid to go down to the basement by himself. He would cut himself shaving, but no one would kiss it or got excited about it. It was understood that when it rained, he got in the car and brought the car around to the door. When anyone was sick, he got out and went and got the prescription filled. He took a lot of pictures, but he was never in them. Whenever I played house, the mother doll had a lot to do. I never knew what to do with the daddy doll, so I had him say, "I'm going off to work," and threw him under the bed. The funeral was in our living room and had a lot of people who came and brought all kinds of good foods and cakes. We had never thought so much, had so much company before. I went into my room and fell under the bed for the daddy doll. When I found him, I dusted him off and put him on my bed. He never did anything. I didn't know his leaving would be hurt so much. This is a story about someone, about the dad. Sometimes, you know, dads are absent and they're gone, and we don't see them that much. We don't hear from dads that much. And some of us, that when we had dads, they went off to work 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock in the morning. They're gone and never got back till late at night. When my dad went to work, he didn't just leave one morning. He'd leave one morning and never come back for 2 weeks or a month, because he'd go off. He'd have to walk from my house maybe 30, 40 miles to go to the bush. He didn't have a skidoo. He had his snowshoes, and he'd be gone for 2 weeks at a time in the bush. And he'd come back, and I'd be so excited. He'd come back with a bunch of pelts in his pocket, in his bags, and he put all the pelts there and showed me how much he got. I was so happy that he got all this so that we could have money in the house. We were all happy. And we'd eat animals that you probably never thought of in this place. So it was exciting to eat that. But see, you know, as a dad, we are to train our children. As you see from these examples, the biggest thing about us is that we train our children by the way we live, our example. Let me just give you a couple more things before we close here. So first of all, we take the responsibility of being dad very seriously. Secondly, we take time to feed our children spiritually, to nourish our children. Still today, I write my girls' letters, And I sent him off. I said, God, here's something that we need to, here's a scripture, and I want you to learn this. So I said, I don't know, I hope they read them. And some, you know, sometimes they respond, sometimes they don't respond right away. But I always send my children scripture. Sometimes Natasha would write me and said, Dad, can you give me a scripture? And so they asked me for scriptures. Still today, Dad, what is the scripture for this? Can you give me scripture? Even like yesterday, the day before. And still ask Dad, you know, about different things, about the scriptures. So take time to feed your children, give them wisdom from the scriptures. The Bible says that fathers, do not provoke your children by the way you treat them, but bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. So we continue to do that on a regular basis. The Bible says that newborns desire sincere milk of the word. So our children, sometimes there are kids who are starving, they're dying, they're being fed intellectual knowledge of humanism, and they're losing the spirituality of their life. Their spirits are dead. You know, when I was in school, I taught social work in school, and some of our new textbooks they have today is that these people have finally come to the place where they say, you know what, our students are just not physical and intellectual beings. Our students are also spiritual beings. So you know, we must treat our clientele with that perspective, that our clients are spiritual people as well as intellectual and physical beings. So let's nurture our children. We need to teach our children to pray. Like Pastor Ken said, his dad prayed, and at least twice in his life, if you remember, my dad never prayed with me. But I do pray with my children. And we do that. So that's important, to teach our children to pray. I'm not going to teach on that. The next one would be using your life, your lifestyle as the greatest tool to teach your children how you live. What you do is going to impact your child for the rest of their lives. Your behavior, your attitudes. Children will imitate the behavior and attitudes and adopt the values of the dad. And in the home, because we set the tone in there. And so, let me just give you a couple more. So we need to teach our children to protect against getting so tarnished from the world that they lose their spirituality. Warn them and show them. Give them scripture. Give them a chance to talk and speak to you about those things that they fear sometimes. Teach your children the importance of coming to church by you coming to church. You can't send your children out and say, go to church. I'll see you later. No, you bring your child with you. Sit them down. Even if they don't act right, you bring them to church. You know, like we say, bring your children. If they don't behave in church, they're going to learn somewhere. Come on now. Like sometimes, you know, because children act up, you know, sometimes little Kalen, he acts, he don't bother me. Might bother somebody else, but I'm glad that Kalen's here. Kellen. But, I'd rather have had kids running around here than at least we can discipline them here. But don't let me catch them alone. Okay? So teach your children the importance of regular church attendance. And lastly, say, thank God. I know the chicken is cooking. Here's what we do. Never speak against the local church, authority people, structure. Never speak against your chief, your police chief, and everybody else that you think is not doing a good job. Learn to speak well of them. They say, you know what, they might be stressed out. It's hard being working and trying to please everybody if you're a police chief. Now let's stop bash-talking people that are working in our community. Stop talking about the pastor. That's me. I know you don't here. You guys are wonderful. If you do, God shuts me away from it. But it's nice, you know. It's nice that, you know, like we need to be able to speak well, even if things are not going well. So let's go ahead and stand up. And we close. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time that we have to talk about dads today. This is a very special day for dads, and we're going to pray for dads. So I thought about something last night, and I want you to go, and if you have a dad in here, and I want you to go beside your dad, mom, son, daughter, go beside your dad and stand with him right now. And maybe we want to bless them if you're a dad, if you're a mom. Praise God. We want to stand beside your daddy if you have a dad in the house, and let him know how much you appreciate your dad. You're going to be like that one day, dad will not always be around. He's not going to be around forever. We're not going to try to kill him, but one day he won't always be here. I told my wife, Peter, is making breakfast. I said, you know what? I really miss my dad. I can't call my dad. But I wish I could tell him today that I love him. I wouldn't be afraid of him now. But I said, Dad, I appreciate you. I want to tell you I love you. I would do that now. Before, I couldn't do that. So if you can do that today for your dad, you tell someone, whoever's a dad to you, say, you know what? I'm glad that you've been my dad. Appreciate you. They need to hear that once in a while. Let's go ahead and pray for every dad. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless our fathers. And we thank you, Lord God. We know that in heaven, all our dads in heaven know that we're doing good, that we're here at church today. And I know that they get that news. They get to know about our spirituality. They might not be interested in hear about what kind of car we're driving or live in the same house, but they know about our spiritual journey. Your word says so. So we thank you, Father. We bless every father, every dad in this house, and those dads that will be dads. We pray that they'll be the best dad they've never had. They'll be the dad that they thought they'd miss. The dad they missed will be the one they become. And make this world a better place, make this home a better place that they're in. We'll give you praise this morning for this opportunity to talk about fathers. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful afternoon. Amen.